when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. This started out kind of it's kind of solemn, plus it's jovial, because you know, after all, I know it's a cliche, but they say everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. I think deep in our back of our mind, none of us really like death. We're probably kind of afraid of it, et cetera, because no matter how strong your faith is, this probably is. In my case, you're thinking, well, what is out there beyond the great beyond, you know? And in my case, I still have so much I want to do, so much I feel like I've left unaccomplished. And, for instance, I want to run the New York Marathon again when I'm 80. But, and this gets back to Mr. Buddy, in case you're just tuning in, the reason I talked about that, this is the second hour in which we're having our memorial service for Mr. Henry Adams Kirtland Jr., a.k.a. Mr. Buddy. He will always be Mr. Buddy to me. He passed away April the 2nd, and we had the graveside service. Just in case you're tuning in, we had the graveside service April the 6th, which was my birthday last Saturday. And it was kind of a bittersweet thing, but we were talking about Mr. Buddy, and we have Jason Robbo. Jason's going to tell us a few more things about Mr. Buddy. But before we went to the break, we were talking about Mr. Buddy was a proud member of the Klan, of the Ku Klux Klan, a proud member of the League of the South. Matter of fact, he was one of the founders of the League of the South. And we were talking about how wonderful the Mennonite people were, because Mr. Buddy left the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church left him. If you know, you've heard me rail against the Baptist Church almost every show, because and my grandfather was a Baptist minister. I was baptized in the Baptist Church 2.5 months from my 62nd birthday, so I think I have a license to criticize them, because they are straight. Mr. Buddy saw everything you hear me say. Mr. Buddy would agree with you, but he was much more of a gentleman with it, with his rhetoric than I. And the reason I'm skinny, this leads to the point of where I first met Mr. Buddy. I saw him several times at TPC functions, but never where I could have a nice one-on-one conversation like I did when I was up at Zinc, Arkansas, and we were in church then, because the Knights of the Council of the Ku Klux Klan, they have church up there every Sunday, and we had a cross lighting up there, which is a holy, it's really a holy sacred occurrence. Matter of fact, Jason, who we have on now, Jason Robb, my dear, dear friend and my dear spirit son. He's a spirit son to me. He's going to be pretty soon, people. This is an update. He's doing a project I asked him to do. He's going to compare side by side, if you got two parallel columns with each other, the Knight's cross, the fiery cross, in comparison with the Star of David, which really was the Star of Baal. So anyway, with that done, we saw Mr. Buddy up there, and Jason was there, and amongst all these other people, Mr. Buddy was there with the Klan Knights Council, Pastor Thomas Robb, my spirit son Jason Robb, and I'll go over to Jason right now, because Mr. Buddy, he was the epitome of these good people. And I just wish to hell some of these people that are always dogging the Klan, dogging me, dogging the League of the South, dogging white people could see, you know, these people that dog us, they couldn't carry Mr. Buddy's socks. They couldn't carry Jason's socks. But anyway, go ahead, Jason. Come in and tell us some other stuff that you know about Mr. Buddy.
Just a couple little things I had written down here. When I found out he had passed away, his wife had, I was actually driving to court in another county, and Scott, that works for me, Patricia had sent had called and had told him that he had, you know, passed away. And so Scott sent me a text while I was driving, you know, basically let me know that Buddy had died, you know. And I was really overwhelmed when I heard that when I was driving to court. I mean, I really couldn't think of anything else. But, you know, it was one of these things. About 10 minutes later, I was just starting thinking about different things about Buddy. And the scripture that came to mind when I was actually driving was Matthew 25:23, where Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I was thinking about that while I was driving to court.
Wow.
about Buddy. I mean, how... No, just a good and faithful servant he was to the Christian religion and to his people. And, you know, and when I started thinking about that, it started lifting me up. It started making me kind of smiling about thinking about Buddy, how just such a great person he loved. He loved everybody, especially his people. And we talked about how he was really that epitome of a Southern gentleman. But he also, you know, was concerned about the destruction of the South, the monuments, and of course he was old enough, same as you, Eddie, that you literally were alive when you saw how beautiful and great the South was, and yes. Then how over the years it's been destroyed, and he saw that. He had a passion for that, but he also had a passion. A lot of people don't understand or do not know about this. Now, Buddy was very passionate about the fact of the continual lies about Germany, about how evil Germany was, and Hitler and National Socialism, and how the false lies that they like to, the media likes to portray about him, about Germany, and he had really a heart to try waking people up about so many of these lies. And so he would correspond with me, you know, occasionally send me emails and stuff like that. And one of the things I looked in my library, because I knew I had this, so he had sent this to me about a year or two ago, and I still have the post-it note. I was kind of amazed. It's still in the book. But it said, "Jason, here's the book I promised to send. It's a very interesting read, Buddy." And it's called The Myth of German Villainy. It was by Benton Bradbury. And it's a book about how all the lies they love to convey about Germany and how they try to propagandize and try to brainwash the youth about how just evil Germany is. And so he had that passion about doing what he could to, you know, to try to waking people up, to give them the, you know, alternative information, like, hey, that's not all true, you know, that Germany is a great country, and they're not evil, and the lies and the myths that they love to talk about so often. And Buddy had a passion to try to, you know, give people information about that. So he sent this book to me, and I really thought it was very interesting. But he had that passion about just trying to talk to people and wake people up, you know, whatever capacity he could. He still did that, but he always did it with a charm, with a smile, with, you know, he didn't get in your face or anything like that. It was all with a gentleman spirit, you know, where he would smile when he would talk, and he was soft spoken, but he, when he spoke, you listen, and he was very intelligent and very witty, and so those are the things I think about him, you know, and I wrote four things that I thought of Buddy. One about, we've already talked about being a Southern gentleman. He always dressed up wherever he went. He always had his suit on, you know, a red suit jacket, and his wife was always dressed sharp as well. Second thing, he loved Germany. He loved the fact that these lies that they loved to spread about Germany just wasn't true. So he loved to help awaken people about that. And he loved the South and its culture. And then the last thing, you know, is he loved Blood River Radio. And I know that was something that, you know, some people say, "Oh, well, you're on the show." But he truly did. And he loved it because of the fact that it was something that he was able to listen to that did not hold information. You know, Blood River Radio obviously gets information out there. I was not afraid to not tell the truth about certain things, about race and politics. And he loved the idea that he was able to listen to a show every Saturday that was helping to, you know, awaken the people and give an alternative to the mess that we see today.
Boy, you just made my year, Jason. You really did. I never knew that much. I knew he liked us, liked me, liked the show. I never knew that much. Well, Jason, God bless you, my spirit son. Thank you so much for coming on. You did great. You've added a hell of a lot to Mr. Buddy's memorial. You certainly did. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you.
Stay in touch. Stay in touch.
I'll
do the same.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, never mention, never forget that real power is never given to you. Just like that commercial said, real power is something you take. You try like hell to hold on to it. But people, just in case you're just tuning in, and also to give other honor to Mr. Buddy, Mr. Henry Adams Kirtland Jr., a.k.a., like I said, he'll always be Mr. Buddy to me. We have another one of my brothers, Rich Hamblin. You've heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it again. Rich Hamblin, he's the one, not only did I ride with him to the Battle of Charlottesville on August the 12th of 2017, he drove. He drove us up there. I'll never forget that. It was me and Rich, and you know, our co-host, Gene Andrews, and we had Matt Goodwin and Simon Russell from South Africa. Simon, it was on the radio with Rich just today on RBN, and I would encourage you, how can they, tell the audience how they can get that interview, Rich, before we go back to Mr. Buddy.
Go to republicbroadcasting.com and just click on our homepage, and I think they've, for today, they've got it on right hand column. There is, it's the Thought Crime Live with Stephen Whitener, and look for the shows for April 13th that go from the first and second hours, and I think it started at 8 o'clock Central Time, and they may have it listed as 9 Eastern Time, I'm not sure, but look for the first hour and the second hour, and Simon Warren there Simon and I were on there for an hour, well, 2 hours. And we took the questions toward the end, but we're talking about the situation in South Africa and trying to explain, you know, their decline and compare it to the United States and so on and so forth. I had a good time with it. Simon's just pretty much kind of talked me into coming back to South Africa in June.
Wow.
So we're trying to work out the details of that right now. So,
well, but, definitely yeah, had to get you.
We had a good time on there.
We'll definitely have to get you in June, and I promise you I won't keep you up at midnight. We may have to record it. But, you know, before we go back to Mr. Buddy, I used to – but me and one of the first guests I ever had when I joined up with James with TPC years and years ago was Officer Jack McLam. He broadcasts on RBN. And we also – we had Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz, the most highly decorated Green Beret in history. We had him on. We located him through RBN. But, yeah, those days bring back memories, I'm telling you. And before we go to you, Rich, I'm going to read this because Jason was – we're talking about how good a Christian that Mr. Buddy was. I'm going to read this last thing here, and we'll go right to you, Rich. It came from his memorial, his eulogy for what – obituary, whatever you think, whatever it is, because it was already, he was already, Mr. Buddy was already buried when we got there. But this is kind of like a program they gave us. But this is the last thing I'll read off the program. I heard that they said that Mr. Buddy liked this particular psalm. And everybody knows it. It's the 23rd psalm. But I'm going to go ahead and read it because Mr. Buddy loved it. So here it goes, people. This 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Once again, people, that was Psalm 23rd. It's the 23rd Psalm. And Mr. Buddy liked that. I used to hear that a lot when I was in school. But anyway, Rich, I know you knew Mr. Buddy way before I did. I knew of him. I would see him in functions every now and then, with TPC functions. But I sat with him once when we were having a meal at TPC. But I didn't get to know him really close until I met him at the Zinc Fest, what we used to like to call it, when we go up to Zinc, Arkansas, to the Knights of the Klan with the Rob, Jason Rob, and his father, Pastor Thomas Rob. That's where I met him, but he was a consummate Christian. But I know you knew him longer and better than I did, many years before I even knew of him that closely. So, Rich, if you will, tell us, talk about Mr. Buddy a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I knew him any better than you did, but I knew him longer. I'm trying to remember when was the first time I met him. It was probably in the early 90s, and he was always involved with conservative activism, whether it was the CCC or the Sons of Confederate Veterans or the League of the South, but he would show up at these events a lot, or in a lot of meetings in Nashville. He and his wife, at that time, they lived down in Waynesboro. They had a farm down in Waynesboro. And before that, I think he was in Memphis when he retired, and got out of Memphis. Of course, when it started going really bad, and he bought this place outside of Waynesboro, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere. It was a nice farm, but it was surrounded by paper company property and all this kind of stuff. So it was kind of remote. Buddy grew up in Nashville, he told me, and it was pretty close to Reservoir Park, if anybody knows Nashville, over there off of 8th Avenue. I think it was on Alloway. I don't think the house is still standing. But you can see the vicinity. And he said that when he was a kid, they used to play down at the train yard by Fort Negley, and it was he said it was just like in the comedies called Our Gang that you saw back back in the 30s. He said that's just the way they lived back then. So he didn't grow up in the lap of luxury or anything like that. Let's see, he was 95 when he passed away, so he would have been born probably about 1929, I guess.
1928.
And he was a teenager when World War II came along. You know, he wasn't old enough to participate. I don't know if he went into career or not, but I do know that he was an airline pilot. I didn't really know a whole lot about that, but he was in the thick of conservative movement back then, because I remember him telling me about some of the book. I'd ask him about a certain book I had discovered, and he said, "Oh yeah, I've got a copy of that," or "I had copies of those." I mean, this is, you know, stuff that was current back in the 1950s. So I guess he was probably in the John Birch Society, because that was one of the main things going then. And then as he was just an old time conservative, you know, a very courtly gentleman. He was like my father. If he ever went anywhere to at least bit formal, he would wear a suit and a tie, and you know, he was just that kind of individual. I kept up with him off and on during the years. Like I said, mostly at things like the League of the South. I know he was involved in that from very early. I don't know if he was, you know, one of the founders, but he was there early on. And when I was chairman for Tennessee, he would, you know, he would travel up to Nashville to when we had regional meetings and that's how he and Patsy, and he was always very supportive, and I got to know him better as the years went on, and we sat together, I guess, at both of those the TPC parties for supper, and you know, he sought us out, and I'd see him at Ameren and places like that. He quit going to Ameren when Jarrett Taylor refused to let Ingrid Zundel set up a table there and sell, you know, Ernst artwork and books and stuff like that. He was very much a supporter of Ernst Zundel, and it sent me,
yes,
sent me a DVD that Ernst had done, and also a booklet. And he subscribed to Ernst's prison journal and would support him financially too. So he was a big supporter of Ernst, and as the years went on, he basically represented the traditional Southern pro-American position to that extent, until finally he told me, he says, the United States has gotten so far from what it used to be that he couldn't even stand the sight of the U.S. flag anymore. So, well, yeah, I agree with you there. And I went down and visited him a couple of times in Waynesboro, once when I first got out of jail, and Janice and I went down there another time and had lunch with Buddy and Patsy, and you know, he was a great host, and Gene is the one that really knows doing well, and of course Buddy was a big supporter of the Forest Home up here in Chapel Hill, and so I'm really sorry to see him go. But he lived a good long life, and he did a lot of good for a lot of people. Oh, another thing, he was involved with the Minuteman Project for a period. He called him up, I guess, Chris Simcox, when they were down there on the border in, what, 2005 or 2006. Yeah. And Buddy was a pilot, and he kept a plane for a long time. And he called him up and said, hey, if I fly my airplane down there, is there someplace, can y'all, you know, meet me at the landing strip and drive, you know, get me a car and drive me around, all this kind of stuff? And their ears perked up immediately, and he said, "Heck, we'd like to use you in patrolling the border." So he was down there for a period of time, and bear in mind, he was, you know, he was in his 70s then, he was in his 70s then. He was still flying. In fact, he'd fly from, I think he flew from Memphis to Middle Tennessee, and up until just a few years ago, he finally got rid of his airplane. But he was quite a fella. He was always smoking a cigar. He enjoyed those cigars, but he was quite a character, and he was a good friend to me and the South.
You know what? Before we go for the break, you know, he had Ingrid Zundel in his home. You're right. He was absolutely right. Huge supporter of Ernst Zundel.
Oh yeah, he was a big supporter of them. Yeah.
Well, Rich, I'd like to thank you so very much for coming on. You did a great service and great honor to Mr. Buddy, and thank you so much. I'll be contacting you before too long, because we know where we'll be meeting next month.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. Multiple people stabbed at a busy shopping center in Sydney, Australia. Police evacuated shoppers at Westfield Shopping Center in Bondi Junction, which is in the city's eastern suburbs. Police reportedly shot one of the two alleged suspects, and they were searching for the other. The Sydney Morning Herald reporting that four people died in that stabbing spree, although police have not confirmed that yet. The U.S. is expecting Iran to launch attacks against multiple targets inside Israel in the next few days and is prepared to help intercept any weapons launched at Israel.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
President Joe Biden, during that White House briefing, said he expects that attack to come sooner rather than later. And his one message for Iran right now? Don't. Iran has been moving military assets the last few days, including drones and cruise missiles, giving the impression that they are getting ready to attack. Hunter Biden is going to have to face federal gun charges. A judge in Delaware has denied his attempts to dismiss three federal gun charges, making it more certain that a trial will happen this summer. Attorneys for Hunter Biden argued that an immunity agreement tied to his plea deal is still in effect. The judge said that an immunity provision in that plea deal, which ultimately fell apart, was made when both parties signed it. But the judge argued that the contract required approval from a probation officer, and the probation officer never signed off on it. This is USA News.
Attention. This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-362-9337. 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Thank you, Blood River Radio family. I'd like to thank you so much, the ones that are hanging on. I'd like to thank you very, very much because it started out as a solemn hour, you know, for Mr. Henry Adams Kirtland Jr. God bless him. He'll, like I've told people, and I'll say it 100 more times, he'll never be anything but Mr. Buddy to me. His wife, Patricia, will always be Miss Buddy. And in fact, when I call him over there to talk to him, I would say Miss Buddy was the property of Mr. Buddy. Mr. Buddy was the proud owner of Mrs. Buddy. But anyway, we have a very special friend of mine, a special brother of mine, coming on in just a second. And with this fellow right here I'm telling you about, I met him first time up close and personal, really close and personal, back, I tell you what it was August the 11th. It was the day before the Battle of Charlottesville. The Battle of Charlottesville was August the 12th, 2017. And that was something that none of us will ever forget, the ones that were there, none of us. We forged a friendship. It's not a cliche. The people I went up there with, it was me, Gene, our co-host Gene Andrews, Rich Hamlin, who was just on the radio a minute ago. We had Simon Rose from South Africa and one other fellow, Matt Goodwin. We used to call him the Mole. Without Matt Goodwin, there would be no Blood River Radio. Early on, in the early days, Matt furnished a lion's share of the finances. I didn't have it. Lee Cochran would finance it some. But Matt was in the League of the South before I knew about the League of the South. And he since married. I'll tell you what he sacrificed. Matt lost a job because he went to Charlottesville. That's how it was. That's how people went to Charlottesville, a big punish. But anyway, enough about me talking about Matt. Let's let Matt talk about Matt. And because he knew Mr. Buddy before I did, I'm sure. So how you doing? How you doing there, my brother?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day out, and it's a really solemn start to the show. But, you know, Mr. Buddy lived a good life. He lived a long life. We certainly are going to miss him. The first time I remember meeting Mr. Buddy, it was probably about 2012. I met him at a League of the South State Conference. It was in Franklin, Tennessee. And how he was introduced to me, my friend introduced him to me as the commander or the captain of the Confederate Air Force. And I went, wow, really? And they told me a story about him, about how he used to fly with the Confederate flag emblem on his, the Confederate flag, of course, on the side of his airplane. And the FAA eventually, the tyrants eventually required him to take it down or something. And then, he closed that section of his life because he wasn't going to fly with the Yankee flag like that. He was a stalwart supporter of the South and a stalwart supporter of truth. And we're definitely going to miss him. So
I miss him already. I know that may sound, you know, funny to some people, but as I was out driving around today, me and my wife, we had to go to the post office, a few other things, and I said, I miss him already. You know, even when I didn't go to Jonesboro scene, at least I knew I could go. Like I think I told the people earlier, I have to go through a little town in the middle of the road called Mark Tree, Arkansas. There's a story there. My grandparents were buried in Mark Tree. Well, Mark Tree is probably about two-thirds of the way maybe three-fourths of the way over to Jonesboro. Jonesboro is about 90 miles where Mr. Buddy lived. You know, his wife, Patricia, she grew up in Arkansas, but she moved down to Memphis when she was young. Mr. Buddy moved from Nashville to Memphis when he was young. He never told me why he moved down to Memphis, but anyway, that's where they met and married. But on the way over there to Jonesboro, go through Mark Tree. My grandparents buried there on my mother's side. And my dad, years and years ago, back in the 50s, early 50s, he duck hunted. He was a huge duck hunter. They had their duck blinds out on the place called, they have the St. Francis River over there. the White River in Arkansas. It's famous, world famous White River, White River National Wildlife Refuge. But the place where they duck hunted, Mr. Buddy knew about it. It's called the Mark Tree Spread. Evidently, it was this gigantic water, slough, swampy waterway between around the St. Francis River, with that San Angel River, and places like that. But Mr. Buddy knew about it. But Mr. Buddy's the only other person, Matt, that I know that I've ever seen that knew where the Mark Tree Spread was. But the Corps of Engineers, and they screw up everything. I guess they drained it. It's a wildlife area over there, a wildlife management area. But I didn't know. I knew you knew him a long time, but I didn't know you knew him that long ago. Tell us a few things about him that was dear to you.
Yeah, definitely. Something I'll never forget about him. You know, you have Mr. Buddy. They talked about him being a gentleman. He was. Everywhere he went, he dressed dapper. And absolutely, he lived out the life that he wanted others to, you know, he wanted to see lived out around him, basically. And so one thing I'll never forget is when he called into our show. We were doing a show. It was Dresden month back then. And I was talking about Pearl Harbor. And we had a caller, and it was Mr. Buddy, and he was there to basically give us some extra facts about the things we were talking about, and also, you know, tell us we were doing a great job on the air. That was really warmed my heart. Oh, my. I'll never forget. That might have been one of the first callers, too, we've ever had on the show. On the program, I should say. It's not a show, but anyway.
You remember well.
Yes, I loved it, and I'll never forget that. Also, another thing about Mr. Buddy, what he is to me was he was around well before World War II started, and he represented a continuation of a line of thought that's been disregarded and trampled over. He was an advocate that basically Americans were not pro-war before the World War II, because everything leading into the World War II myth is that we were all very pro Uncle Sam, you know, Uncle Sam wants you posters everywhere. And Mr. Buddy was pretty much there as the other voice, the guy that says, no, there were other people that were not very pro war. This resonates with me because, you know, neither of my grandfathers, both of them served in the war, but neither of them wanted to serve in World War II. So one joined so he could join the Navy rather than be drafted in the Army, and the other was drafted in the Army and hated the 30-day trip over to the Philippines and ended up getting seasick so bad, and he came back and ended up getting seasick on the way back after the action was over. Couldn't stand being over there. So anyway, it's just Mr. Buddy was a pro-American spirit in its genuine form. He wasn't a rah-rah, fairy dust, red, white, and blue American spirit. He was real, genuine, true American spirit of freedom and liberty and peace for the South and Southerners. So that's what I would say about Mr. Buddy and what he meant to me and what he meant for the show. Just what a legend, what a great man. And we loved him and his wife, and we'll miss him. Yeah, until we see them again. So.
You know, you brought up something that, matter of fact, you educated me to something that I've never thought of as much. You spelled it out, that prior to World War II, most people were like Mr. Buddy. There was a lot more people, maybe not most, but there was a great number of people like Mr. Buddy. They were more gentlemanly. They were more civilized, more Christianly, more godly. I'm not saying they were angels, but it was a different time, and you were so right. They tried, like with everything, to keep out of war until World War II. In fact, hopefully this isn't an aside. I think it was Woodrow Wilson ran on the thing that he kept us out of war or whatever. Then Woodrow Wilson got in there and they had war. And the same thing with FDR. But you're right. People now, let's compare and contrasting Mr. Buddy, who will be 96 in August, if he were where he's living, with these young people going in. I want to be an Army Ranger. I want to be a Marine Recon. I'm bloodthirsty. I want to kill somebody. I want to kill somebody for bombing apple pie. You know, it doesn't matter who they bomb, who they kill. There was this bloodlust, just for war. And you see that they worship war. But you're right, Matt. Mr. Buddy's generation, the people that grew up, say when he was in his 20s and 30s, they were totally unlike that. You know, even in his teens, but prior to World War II, they were totally anti-war. In fact, that's what got Lindbergh. And I remember talking to Mr. Buddy about, Charles Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh's dad was, if I remember right, was he a congressman or a senator? And they kind of got on the government's blacklist because they were trying to keep us out of World War II. They knew it was a hoax, et cetera, et cetera. But you're absolutely right. Well, it looks like we've gotten completely out of time, bro. Matt, thank you so much for coming on the program, buddy. Hey, stay in touch with me. We got some plans we got to talk about. And I'll see you. Stay in touch with me. I'll stay in touch with you. And thank you so much for coming on, Matt.
It's an honor. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, man. Dear people, you just heard. Be right back after this right here. Be right back, folks.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. We will be bringing on Miss Nancy pretty soon. She'll be hooking up. And, you know, Mr. Gene, a.k.a. The Bitter Ender, I hope he's able to call in. Just to let you know where Gene Andrews is. He's at points unknown right now, traveling all over the country. And he told me he didn't know exactly when he would be to call in, but he would call in. So I hope he does, because if anybody, like Matt said, if anybody needs to be in on this memorial program about Mr. Buddy, Gene Andrews does, because I guess Gene was probably close. If there's any one person was the closest, and there was a lot of people that were very close to Mr. Buddy, Gene was probably number one. And I'll tell you something else about Mr. Buddy. Keep in mind, he would have been 96 years old in August. And he would get in his car. Few people don't live in this part of the country. Jonesboro, Arkansas, 90 miles from Memphis, so to speak, 80, 90 miles. He would drive his car. And to get to the forest home up in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, you can go up I-40. I-40 runs right through the center of Memphis. Well, Memphis, Tennessee has become so violent, extremely violent. As a matter of fact, I believe it was last night, there was a policeman killed and two shot. So there was three cops got shot. This is the side, but this is one of the things Mr. Buddy would tell you. And they were shot by a feral black animal, a teenager. He had a full automatic, or the paper said he had a machine, some type of machine gun. I don't know where the hell he got it. Unless, you know, but you know, the paper, the news service, they kind of exaggerate about firearms sometimes because they hate them. But you have to have them. You know, you have to have those to defend yourself against the feral black animals. But one of the newspaper clippings said, and what I'm telling you is one of the reasons Mr. Buddy quit coming through the city. One of the clippings said, oh, it was the tragedy. He said, it's bad enough that the policeman got killed, but a teenager, before he had time, you know, he was right before even the, he wasn't even yet in the flower of life. Just think where he could have been. It was something like this. If he could have been neutered, you know, and maybe gone to maybe a anger management course, this kind of crap. And in fact, I've talked about stuff like that, Mr. Buddy. That was one of the things Mr. Buddy talked about, all this stuff. Now, I had told him about this crappy district attorney here in Memphis, Steve Mulroy. And I'll say this over the air, Steve Mulroy, and I'm saying this in honor of me. Now, Mr. Buddy wouldn't say it this harsh, but I know he would not disagree with it. Steve Mulroy, I hope the next black feral animal that you refuse to prosecute, that you refuse to keep on bond, like this feral black animal that killed that cop, he was already out. He had already been caught with guns that he wasn't supposed to have because he was a felon, in a stolen car. He's caught driving a stolen automobile in Memphis, Tennessee with contraband, with guns in it. They take the nig to jail and he's released on his own recognizance without bond because the bond system is so unfair. I remember talking to Mr. Buddy about this very situation about the bond program of when this George Soros appointed district attorney came into Memphis, Steve Mulroy. Well, I hope the next feral animal that's killed, especially who's killed somebody, that you parole, I hope that he meets up with you, Steve Mulroy, and I hope he does to you a horrible deed. I would like to see you put in the hospital on a ventilator for about 6 months to give you time to think about all these feral black animals you're releasing because it is so unfair for them to have to pay bond. He's instrumental in getting the bond system reformed. We're going to reform the bond system. Well, I got a news clip for you, Mr. Steve Mulroy, Mr. Genius. If your nig buddies would stop committing the damn crimes, they wouldn't have to worry about a rigged a bail system. They wouldn't have to worry about, oh, the bail system, it'd be so racist, man. They're so racist to us poor black folks. All we want to do is go in and shoot up the liquor stores and kill cops. And it's just flat racism. We stupid ass. I hope the next one gets your ass. The next person that you, I'm getting off beat here, but I tell you what, it really pisses me off. But anyway, that's why Mr. Buddy stopped coming through Memphis. Good people like Mr. Buddy would go all the way to Dyersburg, Tennessee, and circle back around to getting to Chapel Hill, Tennessee, Nashville, and beyond, because he was so afraid, and rightfully so, to come through the Stephen Mulroy-run city, you know, with the all black city council, black mayor, black county mayor, black sheriff, black police chief, black, and to say something that Keith Alexander said once, but they can't organize a damn two-car funeral. But anyway, they seemed like I was getting off subject, but I really wasn't, because Mr. Buddy had talked about that many times, as long as I'm sure he's talked about other people. He's talked about that same subject with other people. Excuse my horses, y'all. Getting a little bit hoarse. Like I said, we're expecting Miss Nancy to call at any time. Also, I forgot to mention Rand Owens is our co-host. He's going to be calling in soon too. I didn't announce that. I don't think I did a good job throwing out the outline earlier. But those two people are going to be coming in, and we'll have also one more person I forgot I didn't mention. James Edwards was originally scheduled to come in about 5:30, but he's not going to be in his studio until about 5:45. James knew Mr. Buddy very well. In fact, James knew Mr. Buddy before I did, because James there's a guy named Austin Farley who started he started TPC. James was telling me about this. Austin Farley was really good friends with James. And in fact, the first time I met Austin Farley in person was James's wedding when he married Danny. I saw Austin there. And he was also friends with Jess Bonds. So it was Austin, I believe, Jess Bonds, and then James came on in the beginning. And James financed the show out of his own pocket before James got in bad shape. Well, I guess he would. I don't think he'd mind me saying that. But anyway, I'm probably in worse shape than James as possible. But anyway, the point is, Mr. Buddy, and I've said this several times before, but it needs to be repeated, Mr. Buddy saved James's butt, just like he saved the Blood River Radio's butt several times. Hey, Mr. I got this. It says, I just got this from Rich. He said, don't forget, Buddy didn't like niggers any more than we do. It's true. It's absolutely true. I'm going to tell you something else. People, you might not know this, but did you know you got white niggers? You got white niggers and you got black niggers. A nigger ain't nothing but a low-down piece of scum, and they come in all colors. But we just refer to the black ones. But anyway, Mr. Buddy didn't, and we have more than our share right here in Memphis, Tennessee. And I don't know why God made it that way, but you can't argue it. Played up statistics. Anything I'm telling you tonight right here, I've talked to Mr. Buddy about it many times for some reason. And I've often wondered why God made people like that. They have a great propensity to violence and crime. It's not just me, Bob and Derek, talking. You can go to any statistics you want to go to. You can go to the FBI files. You can go to the national crime statistics, anything you want to. Also, we mentioned Lindbergh Sr. was a United States representative. That's what Rich tuned in. I appreciate that so much. Here, and you might want to tune in. It says something else, Rich, if you might want to tune into this program right here. He said, Thought Crime Live with Stephen Douglas Whitener, April the 13th, 2024, Hour 1, Republic Broadcasting. They cover all about that crime. You can get all the statistics you want to. You know what? You can make up every stinking excuse you want, but there is just no changing the facts. I didn't make it that way, but I'm not going to lie. These blacks, they are just a very violent, violent people. They think nothing of shooting a cop. They get by with it. They know they're no more likely nothing's going to happen. And while I've talked to Mr. Buddy several times about Miss Eliza Fletcher, she's one of the people. She was kidnapped. I remember talking vividly with this. I remember vividly about talking this with Mr. Buddy, Mr. Eliza Fletcher, Miss Eliza Fletcher. She was kidnapped. It was about 20 months now. It's Labor Day. It'll be Labor Day. What is this? 2022. And Steve Mulroy, thanks to him, the nig that caught this precious young lady, small child, a beautiful woman, athletic, church member, school teacher. In fact, I know a friend of mine was in college with her, and she played sports, etc. But the captain caught her while she was out jogging about 4 o'clock in the morning. He mutilated her, he raped her, beat her to death, dumped her in a reed patch like a sack of garbage, and he still hadn't even been brought to trial. So anyway, for that, people, we're going to transition into the third hour already. I can't believe it. Be right back, folks.